Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, welcome, everybody. Happy Friday. You're listening to the Entrepreneurial Web. I'm your host, Jeremiah Fox. Before we get this party started, the message of the week. I've said it before, something my mentor has said to me many times, and it stuck with me among the many things he said that didn't. But this one really stood out, and it applies to today's show and today's guest and what they've built. And it's better to own 20% of five things than 100% of one. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to have 20% of five different businesses or five different investments. You could, in fact, do that within your own brand. And that's something I find fascinating about today's guest. She is a very creative, extraordinary entrepreneur and very hard, and has managed to really diversify her brand and do some remarkable things. And she's got some exciting coming up. With that, I would like to welcome to the show all the way from Nantucket, Massachusetts, Wendy Roulard. How are you today? You got to unmute, Wendy. You're still on mute.
There we go.
There we go. I know it's a writer thing, right? Welcome. Welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. So to introduce everybody, Wendy is the creator of the Barnaby Bear book series, which was spawned by a bear that I believe, was it your grandmother owned?
Yes, it was originally my grandmother's bear. Yes, and she passed it down to my mother, but then my mother, of course, gave them to me.
And so this was the catalyst for this brand that you've created that begat here in New York City when you were at Parsons, correct?
Yes.
And it was like a senior thesis. You were like, all right, let me see what we can do with this.
Yeah. So, I mean, it goes way back, of course, to this bear that I had as a child that was my steadfast companion that I took from everywhere with me. And then kind of fast forward, of course, and attended Parsons School of Design. And all through college, I worked for one of my professors who was a stuffed animal designer. Oh. And I worked for her in Hoboken on weekends. And we designed stuffed animals for, you know, Lord Taylor and Macy's. And so that really was definitely the catalyst for me wanting to get into this whole area of this whole children's book world. And I was an illustration major. And so I thought how great it would be for my senior thesis to create this bear who lives on this faraway island. And I had spent summers at the time on Nantucket. I thought this is such a magical island. And even though I don't really call it Nantucket, we call it the faraway land. And anyway, so that's how it all started. And so I wrote and illustrated my very first book. Back then I was hand sewing the bears to accompany the book. And I went from door to door selling it my senior year. And so, and within 3 weeks, I sold 2,000 copies. It sold out. And so that's really how it all began.
That's great. That's like the hardworking portion that I was referencing earlier. I was reading your story and I was like, wow. I mean, it reminds me of, I had similar experiences with my grandparents. My grandfather was a master woodworker. And when I was like 11 years old, he used to send me around the neighborhood going door to door to sell the things that he created. And that just instills in you this, it's a different level of entrepreneurship versus, no offense to all you young digital entrepreneurs, this is a little bit different. I want to talk about like the tangible aspect of it a little later. Like you've got books and dolls, which is, you know, anytime you're like making something physical, that's also taking it to the next level. But I really find it intriguing the way you took like this piece of nostalgia and childhood. Like everybody was a child, right? And we all have at least one, even like the poorest of kids had like that one thing.
That one thing.
That they remember. Maybe it was passed down from you know, a family member. Maybe it was just something that they found. But we all have like kind of that one thing, and that's kind of the thing you tapped in. So it appears on the surface that you're marketing to children, but really you're marketing to everybody.
I mean, it's funny. I don't really, exactly. I am. And I think that, I mean, I really wanted, my goal, of course, was to create this bear that would be a timeless character. And one that kids could rely on, a loyal friend they could take everywhere. And that was definitely what I wanted to share throughout this whole process.
And it's a wide net you cast, because not only do you get the kids, but like the parents of kids
who
and it's wholesome, right? It's wholesome. Yes. As a parent, you want to, you know, hopefully, you know, it's important to be that someone that can be sort of like a mentor or a leader and that sort of thing. So definitely a wholesome character.
So I'm curious with your time at Parsons, because I studied I studied music. I have two music degrees, and they didn't teach us shit about business. Did you get like I just grew up running small businesses and restaurants like the one I'm sitting in right now. Yeah. I learned it like, you know, boots in the street. At Parsons, did they give you some sort of guidance in terms of like business approach to market the things that you were creating?
Well, I mean, the wonderful thing about Parsons was that throughout the whole 4 years, I took marketing classes. And so I have a degree in business administration, but they really did. I mean, that's what Parsons does well, at least, you know, when I was there and in this specific program, is they really taught us how to get out there and market your product. Because you can, of course, create something great, but, you know, probably like 90% of my job is just marketing and trying to get it out there. And so it's so important.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I was having a discussion with a gentleman earlier in the week about boxers, like professional fighters, and how boxing is really like the easy part of the gig. You have to really market yourself. And for some guys, that means you have to talk a lot of smack, you know, to get yourself bumped up, or there's a bunch of other things you could do, but it really like, and on all things, it's like the marketing is really the hardest part.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good to hear. And then within your family, did you also, I'm wondering if there was some part of that passed down as well, where they're like business owners in your family, were you kind of introduced to that earlier on, or was this something that you kind of picked up in college and went with from there? Nice.
It's funny because my whole family is in education. So my parents, my mom was a librarian, my brother's a school teacher, my father was a headmaster. So I grew up definitely, no one ran a business.
Yeah.
I grew up with that whole sort of side of the education. But, you know, I'd always been like that. I, you know, at age 10, I had a gerbil farm and I raised 200 gerbils in my bedroom. And I would bring them down to the local, ride my bike down to the local, you know, pet store, and I would get 50 cents a gerbil. And so, like, I've always, you know, from that to, which is like, it's so funny to think about how I slept through 200 gerbils in my bedroom. But, you know, to like having a paper route, to having all these multiple, of course, different businesses, I always wanted, I always worked. Even as a little child, I was always trying to come up with something, selling my art, whatever it was. So I think it's just sort of in me.
Yeah, a lot of people say entrepreneurship is not taught, really. It's kind of just inside of you.
It's that drive, you know, to want to.
And so right out of school, did you just go straight into this and that was just kind of it?
Yeah, it was funny. So through the process, as I'm writing and illustrating my first book senior year, I thought, you know, I better do. And back then, of course, because we couldn't just like Google the name Barnaby, but I had a lawyer look up the name and make sure I wasn't infringing on someone's trademark. Someone, an 80-year-old man out in Minnesota back then, owned the name Barnaby. And he said to me, I will sell it to you for $15,000. So I thought, here I am, a senior in college. I don't have any money, but I have to have the name. And my parents were like, no, just change the name to Brody, Brian, anything. You don't need, you know. But of course, I had to have that name. So I took out loans. So anyway, to answer your question, I did. I graduated, but I had all these other loans now, right? I had a trademark loan to pay off. So I definitely, it took me a couple of years working a couple of jobs and Barnaby to obviously, you know, to pay the bills and get it off the ground. But I did. I was working in New York right after college for just a few months. And I thought, this is just, you know, I'm just going to move out to Nantucket just maybe a year and try to get this off the ground. And I never left.
That was it.
You know, it's about this place that so many people move out here. Oh, I'm just going to do it for a year. And then, you know, here I am, you know, years later.
But, that's amazing. What was I going to ask? Barnaby, that was the name of your childhood bear and like passed down? No. Okay. I'm curious. So why the insistence on the Barnaby?
I don't know. It's funny. You know, Barnabas is an old whaling name on Nantucket. And I liked, you know, shortening it to Barnaby. It was like, it was so crazy to think. It's crazy for me to think now that I spent all this money back then on a name that could have easily been changed. And it was like a name that I had to have, and I wasn't going to change it. And I was going to, I don't know. I just absolutely fell in love with the name, and it just felt right. It was just Barnaby. Yeah.
No, it's another good lesson for like the young entrepreneurs out there. Like your gut. Intuition, right? Intuition has survived humans for so long. And sometimes people ask me all the time, like, how did you know? And I just felt like it. I just had to go with it. And that was it. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But when it works out, you know, you're like, yeah, it was my intuition.
Right. I mean, I had to work two more jobs just to kind of pay that off senior year. But, you know,
it was perfect. And then these days, what's it like? I don't know anything about writing books. I'd like to one day, but I have absolutely no clue about it. If you mentioned like back then you couldn't just like Google search, but now is that kind of the modus operandi where you would just kind of search and see if the brand existed out there?
Yes. And I always think that's kind of the first place to start.
Right.
Just to see what's out there. Yeah.
And then you still would have to likely purchase it from anybody that wanted to sell it. And would you say, like, in hindsight, 15 grand was a steal? Do you think it would cost more these days?
I mean, now it would probably be worth like 60,000 to buy that. So was it worth it? I mean, I believe it was worth it, but it was in the beginning stages, you know? And so of course it would have been really easy just to go with something else.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have changed it but would I purchase it for 60 grand today? You know.
The question
is, naive. I was 21 years old.
How much would you sell it for these days?
A lot.
Yeah, right?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would never sell it.
No, I know. Yeah. It seems like it's your family now, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's my first one.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like when we've opened a number of businesses, but there was a certain point where we had two children and my restaurant, Della, where I'm at right now, my wife would always say, like, that's our third child.
Yeah.
But then we had a third child, so we had to we had to bump Della down a little bit. But that's another takeaway, is that it's like you have to treat it like it's your child. You have to treat it like a family member. And I love that you just have all those components like mixed in there. I feel like that's kind of lost on again, not to single out you young entrepreneurs and digital dudes out there, but like, yeah, you really have to treat it. It's great to have somebody on that has like this like physical thing. It's like tangible, but it's like so real and part of your existence as well, as opposed to people who are just like, I'm starting this business and building it to sell it. This is the real stuff.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, this is just like, it's in me. And there have been so many times through this whole journey where I'm like, I am nuts. Like, I have just got to do something else, or this is not working, or this is not, you know, and I just have never, I've just never quit. I've never stopped.
Yeah. Well, I think that's when you know you're on the right path, right? When you're like, this is nuts. Like, this is crazy. I think if it was easy, you wouldn't care.
Right.
Like, if it was just like, oh, this just came to me and it just always worked out. It wouldn't be like your family member. You just wouldn't care. It would just be like this thing you have.
Right. And it is frustrating. Sometimes you see these people who've worked like, you know, no time at all. Right. And it just explodes. And then you're like, why am I having to like still hit the pavement every single day to get this out there? And
it's because we're old. That's why. Yeah. All right. We're going to take our first break. Hang tight and we'll come back and pick this right back up. Everybody, you hang tight as well. We'll see you in just a few.
Okay, great.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m. So tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening, The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
All right, folks, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, once again, you're listening to The Entrepreneurial Web. I'm your host, Jeremiah Fox. Today, we're zooming to Nantucket, speaking to author, creator, and entrepreneur, Wendy Roulard. And it's funny, you just brought up at the end of the last segment a kind of crazy feeling like, what am I doing? And you see these people like explode and land these, you know, seemingly, right? We don't know what happens behind closed doors, but... it's another thing my mentor and I talk about much. I started working for him in like 1993 when he opened his first restaurant. You know, he was I think I was 17 and he was 24, and like we had no clue either of us what we were doing. And he's like franchised now. You know, really like blown up. You know, and very focused and hardworking gentleman as well. But it's so funny because we talk about it all the time now. Like we both have restaurants. I've opened a number of them myself and like retail stores. And we like work so hard and everything, like our overhead is so high. And then there's like this person, they like do this, you know, ebook and they make all this money, you know, like, so that kind of brings me to like what I wanted to talk about in this portion is, you know, the fact that you were hand sewing bears. And were you printing your own books at first too? Were you like,
yes. Oh yes. For years. I mean, I was very naive. I thought, oh, I'm just going to, you know,
just going to make books.
These books and like, they're just going to sell. And I'm just going to like make these bears. And then we're all, yeah. So no, I mean, I did for many, many, many years. I only recently just signed on with Andrew McNeil's Universal. And Simon Schuster is, you know, handles all their distribution. And so, I mean, I did it for years.
And you were doing distribution as well?
Distribution as well.
All right.
No, it's been insane.
Yeah.
That is something that I don't know if I would highly recommend. But
I feel like kids should apprentice with you just for like a few months. Like I always say that, like, come work for me for like 3 months.
Right.
Like be by my side and you see like the real, like how deep the ditches get.
Right. Exactly.
It's no joke, man. So I appreciate the fact that in this like digital moving world, you're taking a step back, like, you know, marketing nostalgia, but you're also working within it. Like those things are not free, right?
You've got
the cost of goods to produce them, but then the time it takes for you to put together, which they are, you know, the old, like all those movies from the 80s, say time is money.
But right, exactly.
Straight up. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of time.
So why? Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Well, I always ask people why, because they, you know, one quote that sticks with me all the time is like, you might not know how to get all these things done that you want to, but if you know why you're doing it, how often becomes apparent over time. So what's the real drive for you to like, handmade bears and print books. What's the deeper meaning to Wendy for like why you would go through all that when like the ebook version was available?
Right. So it's like I have a couple of different. So I mean, I think the real, it's in me. It's like I've wanted to create this character that, like I said, that is like this just loyal, steadfast, kind of wholesome character for kids. And really the messages in all my stories are very simple. They're really kind of like enjoying the simple things in life. And, you know, my new book, Where is Barnaby Bear, is really about being brave and stepping out into the world, but it's also about all the simple things that Barnaby loves to do, whether it's riding his bike, eating an ice cream, skipping rocks on the ocean, eating, you know, a blueberry muffin. It's like all those simple, wholesome. And I just felt from a very young age, and I think it was like living in New York City through college. And I grew up in all over, we lived all over, but I really loved nature. And I really loved the outdoors, and I still do. And I really felt like in college living there, it was like people were always in a rush, as we know. They're always, you know, I felt at a very young age that no one was kind of stopping and enjoying the simple things in life. So that was sort of my main thing that I wanted to share at a really young age. You know, I am opening up a store out here now called Barnaby's Toy and Art Shack again. I asked myself this morning, why am I doing this? This is the most insane thing, as you know, in retail. Why am I now dealing with barcodes? And it's that I want to offer a community space for the kids on Nantucket because they have no place to go. There is nothing to do in the winter. They walk around and around and around town, and there's nothing open. There's no place to go. So, I mean, I have different things that I've wanted to accomplish.
But it's just a further testament of how like deep nostalgia is baked into like your value system. So it's like the nostalgia for you personally, having this bear in your family. So this is really coming from your heart. And then sharing that story with both kids and adults who probably experience something similar. But then just the idea of like, let's put this down for a little while.
Yes.
And like actually make something. Like we're really taking it back to something that humans have done since the beginning. Just like make something with your hands. So even in the way that you produce the product, it seems to me like that's integral to it. And why?
And we didn't even have phones right back then. So right. It wasn't even like I was trying to get away and getting kids. Now it's like really all about putting down the phone.
But like you said, like there's New York, especially there are plenty of distractions. It's funny. I have this fight with my wife on that fight discussion.
Yes.
With my wife all the time, and you know, she seems to forget that we had, you know, magazines and you know, VHS tapes and right. You know, just like cable and television. There was still like plenty of distractions
yes
out there. Unfortunately, her and I were just the people that wanted our hands in things, and we
right.
did that instead. But there's always been the distraction. Even when we were young, it was
right
there.
Exactly
and my there. Yeah my saving grace was working in kitchens and playing music because that was real. And you had this, you know, drive to produce, you know, crafts and like actually write books, like really write a book.
Right.
So that it seems to me like that's really a big part of your, just like your value system and the culture of what you're doing is just this nostalgia throwback thing, like really create,
Like the store I'm opening is half the store is this really incredible art studio for kids with over 200 projects. So it's not just like they can come in and like paint on canvas. I mean, it's like, you know, we have blown it up to like wood making. We have different shacks, different kinds of, so it's like, you know, again, I'm trying to like encourage kids, you know, get in there, get your hands, you know, get dirty, let's create something. And then the other half, of course, are really fun, interactive toys that are, you know, wood or whatever it is that they're made out of. And then we've got a little like kids cafe back. So again, still trying to encourage kids to really create.
Yeah. To be real. Yeah. So far we've talked about three. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, 20% of five things. So right now you've got a bear that you make. got a bear.
Well, not anymore. You know, I don't hand sew.
Right. But you still make and sell bears, correct?
Yes. Still make and sell bears.
So you got your little trinket, your little toy. Good. You got the books. And correct me if I'm wrong, you've done 25 books so far.
Yes.
You got a book to hold up?
Not all. Got a book to hold up. This is my new book. So, yes, some are now have been sold out and are out of print, but yes.
But 25 releases.
Yes.
And more coming.
More coming.
So you've got the print material. And now we're talking brick and mortar.
Now we're talking brick and mortar.
Based off the same brand. I love how you sigh. I do the same thing. This guy a couple months ago, you know, New York's a mess right now, and there's like so many vacant storefronts and everything. And I keep saying, oh my God, like I've opened four, you know, kind of full service places before. I'm down to just one right now.
You're down to one now. Okay.
Yeah. But this guy was like, I want you to come look at a place with me. It was like right under the Brooklyn Bridge. And I'm like, man, I can't get into this right now. And he's like, just come look. And I'm like, oh, like being a hater the whole time.
Yeah.
We get out of the car and I walk inside and I was like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. Like, so let's talk numbers. Like, I found myself like negotiating within like 5 minutes. And I was like, oh man, but that's just, you know, that one didn't pan out. Probably better.
Right, okay.
Better that it didn't. But quickly you flip, you know, and you're like, I came back and I'm talking about it. And like my staff and my wife are like, what are you doing? I'm like, yeah, but that's just, it's that gut feeling, you know? That one could work.
Right. Exactly. And I get, you know, it's something that I have wanted to do, I guess. My friends keep telling me, talking about this for years. I'm like, you know, and it's something that like, I've, you know, we're such a small community and such a small island, and we had a toy store. We had two, and I never wanted to kind of do something and step on anyone's toes.
Right.
But anyway, a couple of years ago, one retired and one moved off island. So now there's this opening, right? So I'm not stepping on anyone's toes. I'm actually going to now be able to offer something that's not here, which I think is valuable. So.
It's the core of entrepreneurship, right? Find a problem and solve it.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not one to like ever want to step on anyone's toes or do something that has like sort of been done.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there's enough.
And that's a tribute to like you caring about your community, I think.
Yeah. We have a great community. I don't know if you've been out here, but it's a.
I haven't. It's so funny. Since I was a little kid, I've read about Nantucket and always wanted to visit. It's just like been in the back of my head. So it was funny. I was just like, oh, that place, it's special to me. And I've never even been there. But like where we're at in Brooklyn, it's the same way. It's just like this tight knit little community. And same thing. You would never want to open something that everybody, all the businesses are owned by locals. So we all know each other. Our kids have gone to school together. And you would never be like, oh, there's a pizza place across the street. I'm going to open a pizza place too. Just because like, you'd be like, no, I'm going to do something different.
Exactly.
Community-based values. That's how communities thrive.
Yeah, exactly. And we have a great year-round community. So,
Right. Awesome. We're going to take our second break. All right. So hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right, everybody, we're hopping right back into it again. Today, we're talking to Wendy Roulard. She is the creator of the Barnaby Bear book series. And just to recap, so she sells and used to make hand-sewn bears, print books. So those two still happen. She's since passed on the production and distribution of those two, correct?
Yes. No, I still have held on to the bears.
But you're not hand sewing them anymore?
No, I'm not hand sewing them, but I'm still distributing at the moment.
Okay. Yes. So production, distribution. Yes. Now we're getting into retail, and it's not open yet, correct? But it's
we open May 1st.
Yeah. So you're right there. Oh man. Right. Yeah. I remember those days. I remember that feeling. And so, what fascinated me about reading about this, the retail, is that you're not just a kid store. You're not just like a store where kids come and buy things. And I've seen success with that around here in Brooklyn as well. Like the area we live in is like mad kids. I mean, I've contributed three myself, so we're part of the problem. But and where we have a similar situation in the neighborhood where and there's a decent business district, you know. But there's never been a kid's place like that. And there's available space and there's plenty of kids. There's a few people that have come to me and said like, hey, what do you think about this? And I've said, that's a great idea, but it can't be just retail. Like you will not survive even with a brisk online business. You need to have something that's like educational and or engaging where you're doing, you know, arts and crafts, music classes, like all these things. There's one place, it's like a toy store and then kids get their hair cut in the back.
Right.
Fifth Ave in Brooklyn.
And exactly. Like, I think that, right? Don't they have a couple in the city? I think I used to bring my girls there. Exactly. Exactly.
So that's also like good advice for anybody thinking about going, I don't care what you're selling. If you're going to have a retail component, that it has to be multifaceted these days because there's so much competition.
Exactly.
With online stores, first of all. I mean.
I know. And that's the thing. It's like, we're a little unique in that, of course, you know, obviously everyone out here does order online because it is easier. But if you needed something right away, right, there aren't many options. Mm-hmm. So we are hoping that people obviously will support the downtown and still shop and people need it right away. And, you know,
but you'll be experience based as well.
Definitely. That's what I would love to offer is this experience of coming in and, you know, it is, I think the way we've set it up, we're also offering classes as well. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have two morning classes for different age groups. So you can come in and take a class or you can just simply come in. And I think what I really love about it is that you can spend what you want to spend. So we don't have these set prices like, okay, this piece of pottery is $25. And it's you want to just get some wood and create for a couple of bucks. You know, it's all price ranges.
Yeah, that's great. And you'll need that at first. And then I think you'll find. Have you ever run a retail establishment before?
I mean, I've worked retail when I first was trying to get Barnaby off the ground. That's what I did. I worked retail on the side. And so I do feel like I have some experience. You know, are those $2 little creations going to pay the rent out here? That's why I'm not really sure yet. I'm hoping that my business model works, but you know, the rents are very high, so we'll see.
Well, the good part about it, and that's why I think the advice, like the 20% rule, works, is because you have multiple revenue streams for your brand.
Yes.
And they fluctuate like that. They kind of will go up and down. And mm-hmm. when, you know, you could take the route of when one is suffering and one is not, it bails the other out. Or you could look at that and say that's not a good 20%. Right. We got to sever the strings.
Right.
You know, retail can work very well. I mean, it's everything we're talking about. You know, a lot of people say like print material is dead, like production is dead. Everybody wants like this digital experience, but it's really not. It just depends on the way you do it. And I feel like you're being very creative about it and you're being multifaceted. I think if you just like, we're like, I'm going to do this one thing and that's it. And if it doesn't succeed, I'm out. You're setting yourself up, not for failure necessarily, but you have a better chance for success. I think the approach you're taking, where you're casting a wider net and you're approaching it from different angles. And talk about like leveraging a brand, you know, you're like, you take your grandmother's bear and you're like, shing, like pull on that lot, that, what's the slot machine, you know?
I mean, new, right? I mean, I didn't, you know, it's like, it was just, yeah. Who knew that I would love designing stuffed animals as a job in college? I mean, I went to Parsons, I attended Parsons. I mean, I went for fashion design. Mm. That's what I really thought. And then a year later was like, oh my gosh, I just love being in this world.
Well, I mean, you
this world of like creating these characters, these animals.
So. Your bear has clothes, right?
He's got clothes. He has, yeah. I just have my little version here, but he has little overalls. Yep.
So kind of, I'm curious, I want to learn a little bit more about the retail, you know, procedure and, how do you envision it, operating? Is this going to be open 7 days a week?
So, you know, Nantucket's unique in that we're really, obviously every month varies out here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for instance, opening May, but it's still kind of quiet till Memorial Day, right?
Right.
So open like 5 days. Obviously the summer will be open 7 days a week. We'll probably be open to like 8 or 9 at night, during July and August. Again, Labor Day, like that's what I sort of like about living out here is that we do have, I mean, it's hard in that we have very quiet seasons or months, but you know, it all varies. So you get, there will be a break, and then the fall is really busy out here. So we'll probably just continue being open 7 days, but you know, I'm going to have to see how it goes and then see, my goal was to really keep this open year round. Mm-hmm. So everyone has a place to go. So that is my goal, is to keep this.
And I think you'll figure it out, like based off of the way people operate. I mean, at least you know the seasons. I worked resort towns before too.
Yeah.
What sucks is when you're just in a city and things just get quiet and you don't know why. You're like,
right, exactly. Exactly.
And how does like the current restrictions play into how things are going to work for you at first? Have you?
Yeah. I mean, we've been really, you know, the island's doing pretty well. I mean, we're having another outbreak again, but in terms of like our numbers, we are, I believe, right now we can only have 10 to 12 people inside, but we'll see as more and more people are getting vaccinated if that changes. The nice thing is that we have outside seating, so okay. I'm really going to be able to move the classes, I believe outside, and they'll be sheltered, and so I think that we're lucky in that sense.
Did I read it'll be a cafe as well?
We have like a little snack bar in the back. Yeah, so it's like a little area where kids can kind of hang out a little bit, grab a snack. We've got a whole penny candy area. I mean, I'd love to kind of expand next door eventually and kind of open up like a real kind of kids cafe type of thing out here. But we'll see. Now I'm getting ahead of myself.
But no, like you're not going to have like cooks and like fire and stuff yet.
No.
Because when I read that, I was like, this is ambitious. I like it, but this is ambitious.
No one is cooking.
Okay. But you do have some outdoor area, especially for like the nicer weather where people.
Yes, that's what we're sort of hoping that will help.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's crazy how like these days people are only looking at spaces if they have some sort of outdoor something. It's just like that's almost a guaranteed sell right there, and you can charge a premium for that.
Right. I mean, the beautiful thing about where we're located is that we are 10 steps to the ocean.
Yeah.
And there's a whole park. So even if you're going to grab a snack from us and, you know, a little project, you could even just, you know, walk right down to the water, which is beautiful, and sit right there. And that land bank has taken over a whole park. So they're going to have tables. They're going to have, so we kind of lucked into that.
Good. Yeah. That's great. That's really great. And I'm assuming, I don't know, I haven't left New York in like 18 months. there's like still mask mandates. So like your staff will have to wear masks. And customers as well. Like kids will come in, and while they're taking the class.
I think so. Unless it changes, you know, say by June or July. Right. I know.
Goes around to Texas and just says, hey.
Right.
Worry about it.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you here, you know, most, not all businesses, but some, like for indoor seating in New York City right now, I have to take everybody's temperature at the door. I have to get like contact information from at least one person in the party. So just be prepared for that, like especially for the classwork. You wouldn't have to do that likely for just someone coming into shop, but you're probably going to have to have their contact information anyway.
But, when they sign up.
You get to be a little bit of this. Get to be a little bit of a school teacher and like take your temperature. It's the strangest thing, but like, you know, when you're a business owner and you care, you just do like whatever you have to make it through. And you kind of mentioned it earlier, like it was hard, but like you just never quit. Like that was just not in the DNA, right? To give up. And
just like not something I never wanted to walk away from it. I just love it. There's not a day that I don't, I mean, yes. Am I like, why am I opening a store? Sure. I've had mornings. But why am I writing and illustrating children's books? Absolutely not. Like I love, there hasn't been a day that I have not enjoyed it.
I think, and I suggest this to people all the time. If you're asking yourself if you should do it, you probably should.
Right.
You know, it's like, should I open a retail store? Like you want to know what's.
I want to. Yeah. What,
and it may, you may, you know, it may not work out, but that's okay. I mean, I've lost businesses. And you learn more about what you want to do by learning what you don't want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. For sure. True. Yeah.
All right. We have one more break. Let's take that. We'll come back and we'll wrap this one up, everybody. Hang tight. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right, everybody, We're going to wrap this one up today. Again, talking to Wendy Roulard. She's the creator of the Barnaby Bear series out of Nantucket, Massachusetts. And she's got her hands in a number of things. She's really maximizing the output of her brand. So she's got an actual tangible doll that she used to sew, but doesn't sew anymore, but sells and still distributes. She's got books that she used to press, but now she has somebody else do that and handles the distribution. She is opening a brick and mortar retail and experience based store in Nantucket on May 1st. So that's three. But she's also a radio show host that deals within her space. She writes a monthly column for a media outlet and a couple of other things. Some of the stories have been used in plays. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, they're going to do it. They've taken three more of my books and they've turned them into plays and camps this summer for kids at the Dreamland Theater. So it's a weekly camp. And, you know, I'm also actually helping them with the art program, developing, creating props they can use that will go with the book. And so they're going to act out the book. And yeah, so that's been great.
And so you get to further utilize like your education and
yes,
the idea of facilitating the creative and artistic process. Are they paying you for the use of the stories in the play, or is this for you? You're just like allowing them to use it.
I'm allowing them to use it. Yeah. Just, I mean, this is a theater that I would love to support anyway.
Right.
So yes, but yeah, so they you know, obviously are paying me to help with the program.
So just another facet of you kind of monetizing this whole process but also continuing to market the Barnaby brand. And then how does that play in with the monthly column and the radio show? You've had the radio show for 3 years on NPR. And it's,
yes. Kids About Town. And also the monthly column I'm writing now for N Magazine, which is Nantucket Magazine. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a monthly column of like what's happening for kids on the island. So that's fun. So just kind of like different things that when people are visiting or islanders can participate in.
And how important would you say, especially those two, like the radio show and the monthly column, how much do they contribute to like the you know, your brand and what you're trying to accomplish with your company?
The magazine for sure has been great. It's great exposure. It's a beautiful magazine. That has been wonderful. And it's a lot of fun to do this. The plays, obviously, when they did this a couple of years ago, was great. You know, it's just great publicity. It's great. And then I do a book signing at the end of the camp and I'll work with the kids and I come, you know, so I mean, all of it, right, helps, but all of it's really enjoyable too.
Right. But it does help. I mean, the thing is, like, you know, for people that come from creative backgrounds, that kind of stuff is always enjoyable, right? It's like when they asked me if I wanted to host a show, I was just like, I have no experience in radio, but yeah, that sounds fun. Like, let's just do that. But, you know, I always try to stress to people, whether they're up and coming entrepreneurs and business owners or people that have been at it for a while, and are just like, I don't know how to get to the next level.
Yeah.
I always stress how important some form of media is to what you're doing.
Yes.
So if you're not utilizing some sort of, it doesn't mean you have to be on social media. It helps, but it doesn't mean you have to be.
Right.
You have to do something to drum up some noise. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. And yeah, I would just love to hear like your thoughts on that, based on like your experience with the radio show and writing in the plays. Like what advice would you have for anybody, you know, looking to get off the ground right now in terms of use of media?
You know, it's funny because I didn't, you know, I was sort of resistant to social media, and it's probably just because of my age. I didn't do a lot with it. And so of course, now that I'm actually doing more with it to really promote my new book, I mean, of course, right? That has really, really helped. I was sort of foolish not to take advantage of that all these years. But I just sort of thought, don't really need to. Obviously that it's made a bigger difference. I've only now just started to really engage in it, which is crazy. So obviously that's important.
I'm guilty of the same. I'm totally guilty of the same.
Trying to the store like right off the bat, you know, and it's just a great way to announce things and to get the word out there, of course. And as you said, like the radio and the it all helps. You know, I really have felt like nothing is really a waste of time. You know, and there are things, of course, you're like, I shouldn't be wasting my time doing that. But it really, you know, there have been times way, way back, or even, you know, that I'm at a book signing and maybe only five people came to this book signing when I was there. But, you know, one of them was the CEO of some company that then reached out to me to help, you know. So I don't really think that if you're out there trying to promote that, it's never completely a waste of time. And just sort of like, I try to say yes more than I would ever say no type of thing. I mm-hmm. always try to do, you know, within reason, of course. You can't make yourself too crazy. But, and everyone, everyone to me does matter. Like everyone matters. Whether someone sends me a message like, my child loves Barnaby, would you be able to like meet me on the street and say hello? Last summer I had people reaching out. Would you just be able to say a quick hello? Absolutely. Like, you know, and so all of that is important. All of that is important.
That's great advice. It really is.
I think.
You know, it is. And I think it's a testament, like some of us have patience and get that. Like not every game is like walk off home run, right? Like sometimes there's these little small victories like that. Like I love that CEO story. Like five people showed up and you're probably like, oh man. And then like one of the coolest things came out of like that little thing, you know? So it's not always like, I think that's a real good lesson for business ownership is that like there are far fewer like massive wins. There's a lot of little teeny ones and those are the ones that
I feel like my business has been a lot of, and obviously, you know, still pushing, still trying to get Barnaby out there. Still, you know, I'd love to see Barnaby on television. I would love there. Obviously I still have goals and I would love, but I think it's all these small victories, right? And you have to stop and appreciate each little small victory. Like, you know, my book just was chosen with Indigo Books in Canada as Heather's pick. And I don't know for anybody who knows, but like Indigo Books is like the Barnes & Noble type bookstores started by a woman, Heather Reichman. And, you know, I just took a gamble. I don't know Heather. I know she does have a house on Nantucket, but I've never met her. And, you know, I took a gamble and sent my book to her, hoping that it would get to Canada, hoping it would reach her. I didn't know if she, you know, and she stopped and a day later picked up the phone and she's like, I love your new book. I can't believe but you know, on and on. And she chose it as one of her picks for her bookstores, and she has 209 bookstores. And again, no one did that for me. Mm-hmm. I took a chance. I said, I'm just going to send her a copy, and you know, at FedEx, they're like, it's going to be $80 to send that over now. I'm like, $80? I'm going to spend $80 to get it. It's the best $80 I've ever spent.
I was going to say, cheaper than 15 grand.
I'm like, it's the best $80 they have ever. You know, it was lovely for her to stop and pick up the phone and call me. So anyway, it's those small little, you just have to keep, no one's going to do that for you. You know, no one's going to do that for you.
That's great. Antidote. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Awesome. And television too. I just love it. You're just going for it.
Well, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to get it on television, but I just think that it would just be a great preschool series.
Yeah, you could do it. Yeah, you could totally do it on your own.
I'm going to start, but.
Well, you probably didn't know how you were going to start any of this, but right. I'm going to keep an eye out for that because I have a feeling you're going to pull this off. But you could literally do it with like, if you have these three little lenses on your phone.
Yes.
And like access to the internet, you could get started. It's pretty, I don't want to say it's simple, but it is that simple in a way. I mean, it's like starting a, you know, people, that's why I was asking about the media thing and the radio show, because people are always like, oh, I don't know how to start. Like none of us did. We just like went
you just gonna it,
right.
Yeah. Somewhere. You got to start somewhere.
You hit record, you sit down in the chair, you start talking and hope it resonates with somebody. And then, but you're fine. Like it happens. It works.
Yeah.
Very cool. So before we wrap up, I want you to just like give people some details. Where's the brick and mortar going to be? Where's the best place to find the book or the bear? Where can they listen to your show? Where can they read your column? Like give the deets. Okay. You don't have to give your phone number or anything like that.
Well, you can follow me at Barnaby Bear Books. We'll start there. So if you visit barnabybear.com, I have linked my website to our independent bookstore. And tomorrow is National Independent Bookstore Day. So you're actually supporting our local bookstores. So you can buy, of course, all my books on barnabybear.com. I would encourage everyone to get it through their local independent bookstore. Of course, it's on Amazon and all the, you know, the bigger, in the bigger stores. I'm trying to think what else. My store is located at 12 Oak Street on Nantucket. So it's down by the ferry. So for anyone coming out this summer, please stop by. And what else? The magazine is just End Magazine. It's a monthly column. And
the radio show?
97.7 ACKFM.
And, it's called Kids About Town.
Kids About Town.
And it, is that weekly, bi-weekly, monthly? Okay. When does it air?
When does it air? So it was Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. And trying to think what else. I guess that's it. I mean, it's like, you know, of course the books are in the book. Oh, and the books and bears, of course, are on my website as well at barnabybear.com.
Does the radio show archive to like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everything, or is it just?
Yeah, believe it or not, it's pretty. We're old school still out here. Yeah.
When you're producing your radio show, just fold that.
On my list
with all your free time.
With all my free time, exactly.
I know the feeling.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's been a lot of fun.
No, it's really been a pleasure. And any discussion about branding and really like helping people understand more about the process, it pleases me. And you have a great story. And I think you've just done so many amazing things with something that's very dear to you. And I always stress to people, like, that's the key to survival. Like, you have to really care. Because
you have to care, yeah, and never give up, right? It's just like, you just don't throw. I just haven't thrown in the towel.
Right. Well, that's how you. It makes it easier to not give up. That's the point, right? Like, when you don't care, it's too easy to give up. But it's like, if you're a parent and you have children, you're like, I'm not giving up on that kid. And if you care about your thing, whatever it is, that much, you'll fight for it. And that's, you know, that's who gets to reap the rewards.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. You have a great weekend. The rest of you, have an awesome weekend. We'll check in with you next week. Peace out.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey all you listeners, looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
How
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.